Hello and welcome to Lincoln Visits in the AOI podcast studio. My name is Jeff Mall, Executive Director of Visit Lincoln. Excited to introduce all of you to some new tourism attraction information and part of the people that make the place, a series that we're talking about here for the last couple of years. I'm joined today by Bob Mays and Tommy Denton, who are here today representing the Nebraska Auto Racing Hall of Fame, located inside the beautiful Speedway Motors facility inside the Museum of American Speed. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast studio.
How are you doing, Jeff?
Well, I'm doing good. Staying warm?
Good. Yes.
Good. We are on the doorstep of yet another racing season, but also here today to talk about the history of racing in the great state of Nebraska. We're going to start by a couple introductions. Each of you get a chance to talk about your background and your role in racing. Tommy, why don't you lead us off?
Well, I was born in Beatrice. Didn't live there very long. Dad decided it wasn't good enough there for him, so took us to Salina, Kansas. Didn't stay there very long. Ended up in Denver. So I grew up in Denver, graduated there. 3 months later, I'm back in Beatrice, Nebraska. And that's where I always wanted to be. And I was there 1 week. And Beatrice Speedway was still racing. And I've been there now 46 years.
And you are promoting in Beatrice, but also a small little oval down in Jefferson County as well.
Yes. And that one is getting bigger and bigger by the year, thanks to the USAC National Midget Show that we have down there every July.
Brings people in from across the Midwest and across the country to come in and race for some big dollars and a big event down there. So thanks for what you do with both tracks. Mm-hmm. Bob?
I was born in Lincoln, lived here all my life so far, and started going to the races when I was 3 years old out at Capitol Beach. And I've just been a track rat ever since. I raced for a while. I've done about every job you can do at the racetrack. Got serious into the media part of it and then the history part of it. And when the Hall of Fame first started, they did their first press release. And I read that and I thought, that might be fun. So yeah. I called them up and joined that group. I've been with the Museum of American Speed now for 19 years. They call me the historian out there. I like researcher.
I don't know. Better. I think historian's pretty accurate.
But anyway, I'm the guy that knows stuff when it comes to old cars and old race cars especially.
You do. You knew quite a bit, and you continue to mass a pretty strong list of tracks that you visited across the country. I always talk to Bob at the end of the racing season and say, how many are on your list? And it's a big number for sure. So thanks for what both of you do. And today we want to talk a little bit about the Nebraska Auto Racing Hall of Fame and its roots. Bob, if you want to talk to us about kind of where it started, what got it going, and kind of where we're rolling today.
Well, where it started was at the Chili Bowl in 1998, January of 1998. And Tony Glenn, who is still on the board, he got to talking with Speedy Bill Smith of Speedway Motors about all the old guys that raced and how that history is being lost. Mm-hmm. And that was where the seed for the Hall of Fame first started. They had their first meeting in the spring of 1998, and I've got written down here the guys that were at that meeting. It was Tony Glenn, Bill Smith, Wayne Dake, Ray Velasic, and Bob Burdick were the guys in that first meeting.
That's a who's who list of names right there.
Yeah, it is. From there, we had our first induction ceremony, September 2nd, 1998. And it's just gone on from there and grown and to where we are today.
It's a big list. I've been on the board now for a little over 2.5 years, and it was an honor and a privilege to serve with all the great gentlemen that sit on that board, as well as a couple people from across the state of Nebraska. Tommy, you're on the ground every day at Beatrice in Jefferson County, and you're seeing a lot of people coming up through the racing ranks, right? And young kids, middle-aged kids, some older gentlemen, and some women out there racing. How important is grassroots racing to the history of what we do in the state of Nebraska?
Very much. I mean, I'm not an historian like him. Mm-hmm. I can get you Beatrice and Fairbury really well and some of the other stuff in Nebraska, but I started racing in 84 was my first year, and it's just amazing. Now we have people that I raced against, their kids are racing, mm-hmm.
And then their kids are racing. So that shows you how old I am. But it's just, it just keeps going and going and going. And, you know, we don't have a lot of racetracks left in the state of Nebraska anymore. But the ones that are here are busy. You know, they got several drivers. My car count's getting better, even at Beatrice. Fairbury is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Even at Beatrice, we're getting better now. So,
a lot of people that are racing right now are looking up to somebody, right? So they're looking up to the Jeff Gordons of the world, the Kyle Larsons of the world, people that come up from grassroots racing. But don't you think they're looking up to some of the guys and gals that they've watched race forever at places like Beatrice and Jefferson?
Absolutely. You hear these guys talk about who they looked up to when they were growing up, and now there's kids doing the same thing to these guys that are racing, Jordan Grabowski and Johnny Sadoff.
Yeah, just
10 national championships between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're heroes to some of these kids, you know, that watched them race.
Yeah, no, it's fun to watch, and been around racing myself for a long time. I actually had my roots at Midwest Speedway at 27th and Superior. And I was one of many, or I was the only one in our family that didn't work at Midwest Speedway. I was the brat. Watching the racing up in the stands at 3 o'clock, I could tell you every car that went through the gate. And there's something about race fans. There's just something, they're a just a data dump of information, but they're so loyal to their sport. So it's great that you get to see that at both of those tracks.
Yeah, and I know that's not my, this is not my track, but you look out here east of town to Eagle Raceway on Saturday.
You betcha.
Wow. I'd give anything to have a quarter of what they get out there, but they just do an amazing job out there.
Yeah. Let's take a look back at the Hall of Fame a little bit. There's been some notable names that have been etched into the plaques and part of the Hall of Fame itself. Who are some of the more notable names, Bob, that people might recognize out there that are watching?
Well, of course, there's a lot of the guys that we grew up with. Mm-hmm. Lloyd Beckman, Speedy Bill Smith, Bob Burdick, who was the only Nebraskan to win a NASCAR, what is now the Cup Series race.
Mm-hmm.
He won at Atlanta, where they just raced this last weekend. Ed O'Boyle out in North Platte, who was a promoter and promoted the only Cup race in the history of Nebraska at North Platte in 1953. Mm-hmm. So there's Joe Saldana, Jan Opperman. You know, when you go way back, there were a couple of guys in the 20s and 30s that were really significant, I feel. King Riley from Oshkosh and Noel Bullock from Madrid, and they were rivals, and they drew big crowds to all the county fairs way back.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to more recent times. You've got Tommy mentioned Johnny Sadoff. He just got into our Hall of Fame. And then there's Terry Klatt, who still has a Silver Crown car with USAC.
Yes, he does. He's
in the Hall of Fame.
National scale.
So it's an ongoing deal. And you know, the Kaziski family out of Omaha, I don't want to forget them. There's Bob, Joe, and Steve. Up until this year, they were the only three members of the National Dirt Late Model Hall of Fame, and they're all father, son, and son. Of course, now Kyle Burke has joined them, and I think Kyle will very soon get into the Nebraska Auto Racing Hall of Fame. I don't see him being a problem once he gets on the ballot. So there's a lot of other guys that are significant too. I mean, when you talk about guys like Earl Cooper, who in the 20s sat on the pole at the Indianapolis 500 and finished second one year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pretty much forgotten until the Hall of Fame came back and dug him up. And
that's an important thing to say right there.
Yeah.
The Hall of Fame is finding those that gave back a lot to the sport and were recognized on a national scale.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really cool when you hear a name and then you do the research and you find out this guy was really something.
Mm-hmm.
Earl Cooper was one of those guys. Harlan Sadoff, was one of those guys. Johnny's dad, we didn't know that.
Uncle.
Or is it Elmer?
Uncle.
Yes, Harlan's the uncle.
Yep.
I'm thinking of Elmer, actually.
Elmer's
his
dad.
And when we got to looking at him, he was like, his career is really, really something. So you start looking at these guys, and you get below the surface, and you see just exactly how significant they were.
Yeah, I think it's important to realize too that the Hall of Fame itself isn't just about the racers. It's about the mechanics. It's about the flagmen. It's about the promoters, those mm-hmm. that have gave back to the sport. So the more I get involved with this and I take a look at the records, it's amazing. And Bob, if you were worried about forgetting somebody, you probably forgot somebody to talk about today. There's so many big names in the sport of auto racing, and there's so much that people need to come out and see. Now, when they get out to Speedway Motors, or excuse me, the Museum of American Speed, they walk in the front door and they get over to the display that is the Hall of Fame. Tommy, talk a little bit about what they're going to see as far as the display and the history there at the museum.
They used to have a room that had all the pictures and plaques that they would get for being inducted, but now there's a kiosk there. So you can just search whoever you want and read everything that was like their bio and everything when they went into the Nebraska Racing Hall of Fame.
So you're going to see by year who goes into the Hall of Fame. You're going to probably see some pictures and yep. a lot of really good copy as far as what they did for the sport.
Yes.
And it's something searchable. We're trying to add to all the time too. We don't want to stay stagnant or get stagnant with the information that's on that kiosk. So
yeah, I think that's important. The kiosk is relatively new and it's a big part of racing history. I know every time I stop at it, I learn something new, and it's, you know, I'm so limited to what I saw in the Midwest, but I never get a chance to know what these drivers did on a national scale. You mentioned Little Joe Saldana. You mentioned people that are raced at Indy and done a lot of great things. So there's a lot of things that I think a lot of family realize that racing, whether they recognize it or not, was a pretty important part of their family upbringing. They spent a time at a track on a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday. So big to this event, big to the actual organization is the event that is the induction ceremony. Happens every year in the fall. I'll let each of you talk a little bit about what that night is, what it looks like, and I think we're trying to narrow in on a date for later this year in either October or November.
Well, you know, it's the way I feel about it is for a lot of guys, it's their last chance in victory lane.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a lot of emotion as a result of that. These guys, I think everybody that gets inducted has a pretty good handle on what their career is and where they stand in history, but to get up there in front of everybody for the Hall of Fame, it's really significant. And for the families, some of whom maybe didn't follow Dad or Grandpa or Uncle Bill as much as some of their fans did, it's a chance for them to understand who this man is or who this woman is,
right.
And what they've actually accomplished.
Kind of hard to pull them off the stage too after a while.
Sometimes
they got a little bit to say.
Yeah, some of them. you know, I've always felt auto racing is about 90% hard work and 10% glory if you're lucky. And so giving these guys one more victory lap, I really think is cool.
I think you put that very well. Tommy, your perspective on the banquet itself, what's it mean to you, and what's something that people might experience, because we'll have tickets that go on sale here between now and the end of the year. We want people to come out and be a part of this.
Yes. I got to tell you, I think I started my fourth year on the board of directors there. And my job is to seat people.
Mm-hmm.
And that first year, I was like a little kid in a candy store.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I looked up, there's Lonnie Jensen, you know, a guy I watched as I grew up watching races and stuff, and Jim Schumann and, you know, people like that there. And I'm thinking, oh my God, it's people I watched when I was a kid, and these guys are, I'm with them, you know, and what I'm doing is helping preserve racing history in the state of Nebraska. And, this is a fun event. I've been involved. I mean, I got invited the first year as a guest before I joined the board, and I was hooked right there.
Yeah.
That's all there was to it.
You know, you mentioned something very important. You were with them. They're no different than any one of us. And they love to tell you their story. They love to talk to you about their passion, but they also want to hear your perspective on racing as well. I too had the same thing. I mean, I'm looking at these people that I watched as a little kid and seeing them, hearing their stories, and there's a lot to be told. And I think the racing community is a fraternity. The racing community is a family, because really, You know, I had a chance to get out to Beatrice Speedway 2 years ago, and I hadn't been down there in years. I was busy, kids, youth sports, and all these things. The reunions, I run into a guy like Bob Mays, and Bob goes, Jeff, what are you doing here? You know, and I think it's just we all remember each other because we're all passionate about it, and there's just a real family niche that is auto racing. So as we kind of wind down here at the end, the time always goes pretty quick. I'm a big fan of dirt track concession food. So I'm going to put each one of you on the spot. Bob, when you pull in the parking lot, you get your ticket. What's your go-to concession items?
Well, you know, I don't really have a regular track that I go to. So a lot of times if I'm going to a place maybe like once a year or twice a year or whatever, I'll kind of see what, first of all, you know, you look on what's on the menu, and then I look for somebody that I looks like a regular, you know, and if they'll be in line. I'll say, hey, you know, what do you recommend? What's good here? And it's really tough to go wrong that way.
I agree.
Now, if they say the super hot, cheesy, whatever, I might pass on that and say, okay, well, what's your second choice then? But, you know, really, when you get right down to it, I like to go to the concession stand, spend a little money, because Tommy can tell you how important that is.
Yes.
To spend some money at the racetrack and kind of help, it helps everybody out. And plus, you get surprised a lot of times how good the food is. I mean, I'll go to Beatrice and the hot dogs are great there. I don't know why. It just, and you go to other places and try out a hamburger, and sometimes they miss.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're there too early and you get last week's hamburger or whatever. I don't know what it is.
True. So you're saying let's go mid-race. Right?
Well, you know, wait till the professional concession people are there.
Yeah.
Or the every week fans show up, and when they get in line, then you get in behind them. And but it's just fun being at the racetrack, and I always try to go to the racetrack hungry.
Yeah.
And have a piece of pizza or a hamburger or something, or some of them have some specialty items that you can partake. It's always good.
I'm not surprised by your answer. And I wouldn't be surprised if you tell me you sit in the same place at the tracks you go back to because you just love the view and you don't variate at all.
Actually, I like to move around.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm kind of surprised.
Sometimes, you know, you see friends, and this is the thing, and Tommy can tell you, there's families, there's groups of people that sit in the same place every week.
And their families.
and they're a little miniature community, and they talk about the same things. The kids play with each other, and the old guys, they talk about corn prices or hog futures or the price of gas or whatever. And the women talk about groceries and what the kids are doing. And, you know, it's a real community.
It's
a get together.
It's the racing thing that we talked about.
Yeah.
Tommy, you're a little bit different. Like, I know you go to races and you eat other people's concession items. You can just roll into Beatrice and grab whatever you want off the counter. What's it going to be?
Gizzards.
Yeah. We talked off air about gizzards are kind of a go-to item and a staple at the racetrack.
Yeah, they
good
are.
Good gizzards.
Very good. And the company that makes the gizzards kind of messed it up and kind of changed their formula
inside
around.
Baseball here.
But they're still good.
Yeah.
They're still good. Everybody, you see the guys. I mean, one of our turn two flagmen up until last year, he'd always come back after he'd get to the races. And we'd all be meeting down in the infield.
Yeah.
Big tray of gizzards. Loaded with cheese and jalapenos.
No,
that was the way he would eat them.
That's just not right.
The cheese? Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Jalapenos? Yeah,
no.
Not for me.
Yeah.
I got another guy, he'd load them with pickles.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But the gizzards at Beatrice, ask Wayne Dake sometime, he hates gizzards. But he did some research on it. How many gizzards were actually sold at Beatrice? And I can't remember.
Oh, my goodness. That makes your stomach turn just thinking about it. You know, I was always a pork tenderloin guy. We'd get out to any racetrack, I'd look for a big pork tenderloin that was outside the bun, load it with pickles and mustard. Dad would always give me a couple bucks at the end of the race, right before the A feature, no matter what track we were at. He'd say, go up and get us either a basket of gizzards or the chicken poppers. And he didn't want the spicy ones.
Yeah.
I did make the mistake
oh.
and brought back the spicy ones. And he was about three in, and he sent me back up for another tray. So it's a big part of it. And concessions, you mentioned a good point, and it gives back. It's fundraising. Racetrack food, I think, forever has always been some of the most affordable way to feed a family. And it's just good to hear it. I'm hungry as we get to the end of the day. Gentlemen, great conversation. Bob, tell us how we can find the Nebraska Auto Racing Hall of Fame on both social and the web.
Well, it's on the internet. It's narhof.com.
Yep.
And they also have a Facebook page, basically the same thing. You can Google us. If you want to make a nomination for the Hall of Fame, there is a tab for that mm-hmm. on the website. We try not to exclude anybody. We look at every candidate. Some are stronger than others. We do insist that we're going to pick the best of the best.
Yes.
And so, but you just never know. We talked about this earlier. You just never know what's below the surface on some of these guys until you look into them. And if you have somebody that you think is worthy, please let us know about them.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a few years. There's a lot of people that have been nominated over the years. And I know being on the board now, we take a look at everybody. And sometimes you learn a little bit more year after year, and people end up getting in the Hall of Fame. So great discussion today. I'm just so excited that you guys had a chance to come out and be a part of this today. Again, racing roots are very near and dear to my heart, and it should be to everybody out there. So shout out to a good friend, Jack Gropp. He also has a presence on Facebook. I think it's a Nebraska Racing History Facebook page. So go out and take a look at that too. That's another great way to engage with
if
the
you
the
like
racing.
Pictures,
yeah.
You need to look at that
because yes.
Jack has got them all.
Yeah, he does a great job. Yes. So appreciate both of you being here today. I'll probably see you soon, if not at a Hall of Fame meeting at a racetrack, probably here in the next 3 weeks for Tommy as the Spring Nationals kick off in Beatrice.
2 weeks from Friday.
Well, again, thanks to the two of you for being here. And again, thanks to all of you for your support of tourism. To learn more about what we do at Visit Lincoln, lincoln.org. But we also want to thank you for being a part of the people that make the place.